If you were paying close attention during the 2016 election cycle and watching the national networks or listening to radio coverage, the pundits and former politicians you were seeing and hearing tended to lean heavily toward men. One political scientist who noticed is Samara Klar, assistant professor at the U of A. In response, she started the website womenalsoknowstuff.com. She'll be speaking about it and the process of starting and sustaining a movement at the ASU O'Connor College of Law coming up next Monday, and she's with me now. Professor, what was the reasoning behind creating Women Also Know Stuff?
The way this came about was actually during the primary season, the presidential primary. You know, there was so much expert analysis going on in the news and in the newspaper, and I just really couldn't help but notice that it was almost all men. And I know many of the men that were being quoted, and they're all extremely smart and very worthy of being quoted, but it was a little frustrating for me and for my colleagues to see just such a lack of diversity when it came to the perspectives that were being offered, you know, surrounding the election. And so, you know, I was really thinking about it with colleagues and with friends, you know, why is it that women tend to be excluded from these public spaces and from visible scholarly venues? And it really occurred to us that, you know, people aren't sexist. They're not intentionally trying to exclude women. But often when you're putting together panels or you're looking for experts to interview or to cite, the experts you tend to think of tend to be men. We all hold implicit biases. And when we think about experts, we tend to think about sort of senior men. It also has to do with the people that we've all read about when we were grad students, when we were in college, and those all tend to be men. And it just makes it harder for women to sort of become accessible and become visible. So what I decided to do was create a website that provided a list of women searchable by area of expertise who all have PhDs in political science, who are all experts in their field. And it's a site that academics and journalists can all visit when they are looking for experts, and they can search the site by area of expertise. If you're looking for somebody who studies nuclear proliferation or Russian politics or absolutely anything, you'll find at least a handful of women with an expertise in this area who are available to talk to media or who are available to do academic events.
Has it had an impact even in the short time it's been around?
Yeah, it seems like it's had a huge impact. We now have over 2,000 women who are listed on the site. We have had tens of thousands of hits. We've had producers and journalists contact us from all over the world telling us that it's their go-to source when they're trying to find experts. We've had dozens of particularly junior women who had never before been contacted to do interviews, who had never before been invited to panels, tell us that they're now getting invited, and the people are telling them it's through this website that they were found. So I think it's really having a big impact.
How would we define in academia what an implicit bias is?
Sure. So implicit biases are sort of these subconscious attitudes that we all hold. And they really have to do with almost anything in life, you know, with race, gender. It's who you, the ideas that sort of pop into your mind without realizing it, without consciously thinking about it. So, you know, for example, there's a famous video that went viral a few years ago where some researchers hired an actor to sort of fiddle with a bike lock on a bike. And one of the actors was a young white boy, and one of the actors was a young African-American boy. And the people who were walking by would become much more concerned when they saw a young African-American male fiddling with a bike lock. They would just assume that there was something suspicious going on. This is one of these implicit biases that people tend to hold, having to do with race. And it's really common that people will become suspicious of individuals based on their race. It's really one of the more really troubling outcomes of implicit biases. And we also have this for gender. When people tend to think about what an expert looks like or what an expert sounds like, they automatically tend to think about old, senior, established men. You know, my husband and I are actually both professors, and we're both the same age. And we were traveling once, and somebody asked us what we do, and we both said we're professors. And the guy looked at me and said, "How? You know, you don't look like a professor." And he looked at my husband and he said, "You look like a professor." We're like, what does that mean exactly? So I think that everyone holds them. It doesn't mean that you're an explicitly discriminatory person, but they're very hard to shake. It's part of human nature, really.
Is this more of a problem in certain areas of academia, like political science, where we're used to seeing, you mentioned the people who've been around for decades or the ones who are the pundits and whatnot. And yeah, they have tended to be men. Is that a harder hill to climb because of that particular field? Are there certain fields that have less implicit bias, let's say?
You know, I think that it does have to do with field. In some areas, I'm sure political science is better than others, but in particular subfields of political science having to do with, for example, foreign policy, war, terrorism. These are areas where women are have had a particularly hard time breaking through. So, for example, 80% of foreign policy experts on cable news in 2015 were men. So that's a huge, huge discrepancy, and it in no way reflects the proportion of women who are actually studying foreign policy and political science. So I think it does vary by subfield. One of the things that political scientists who are women have tended to find frustrating is that often when we are asked to comment on politics, it's because the story has a gendered angle. So a female political scientist will be much more likely to take a call to talk about whether there was sexism in the 2016 election, even if that's not necessarily what she actually studies. So I think in some areas, yes, it's much harder for women, but I don't really know the statistics across academia. I'm sure there are obstacles really in every field.
Samara Klar is an assistant professor at the U of A and creator of the website womenalsoknowstuff.com. She'll be talking about it Monday morning at 11 at ASU's O'Connor College of Law in downtown Phoenix.